Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to it's a new edition of the What Up Doe Fantasy Football Show. I am your host, Kenneth B. Inge, and week one is in the books. We are officially off. We have some winners and losers from last week. Hopefully, if you're listening to this show, you were a winner. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and try to just jump right into it. As I said, you know, if you had a chance to catch some of the previous episodes, you heard the preview show. Sorry about that. Right now, we're actually getting into live action. And we get to talk about, like, some of the reactions of what happened last week, in addition to some of the things that what we're going to look forward to in the upcoming weeks. So, without further ado, let me go ahead and bring on the 430. What up, B?
What's going on, Ken? What's good, brother?
Chilling, man. You know, this thing kind of confuses me every time, because I have it set up to where music is supposed to play right after the Blog Talk Radio drop, and I never hear anything. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. Kind of always throw me off. But anyway, it's not like we need music. But yeah, it just kind of throws me off a little bit. But anyway, so we're back. We're live, and, you know, hopefully we're going to continue to bring you guys just our advice and our thoughts and opinions on what happened, you know, the previous week in football. Just want to go ahead and get some housekeeping out of the way. We created a Twitter account. That's right, the What Up Doe Fantasy Football Twitter account, where we are, we'll actually use that to kind of just for fantasy football, you know, related news and updates. So we'll try to go ahead and keep that updated and relevant for you. You can follow that at What Up Doe FF on Twitter. That's at What Up Doe FF on Twitter. I'll spell that for you. It's WHATUPDOEFF, and that's on Twitter. There is no Facebook page set up, nor Instagram or Vine or anything like that. We're just starting out with Twitter first, and then, you know, as we move forward, we'll, you know, jump into the other stuff as needed. But if you are on some of those other accounts, you could definitely follow the Dead in Sports social media account, all the socials. Follow us on all them socials. It's everywhere, man. So if you're on Facebook, if you're on Vine, if you're on Instagram, if you're on Twitter, you know, man, I even think we got a Pinterest page, but I never update it. Dead in Sports. So that's that. As for calls, I know if you follow the show that goes live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, we take calls throughout the show. This show is a little different because we have a lot to cover, so we will start taking calls 30 minutes after. This is an hour-long show, so we need to get in, get out, and then we'll let you guys call in and kind of vent your frustration, you know, of your teams. You know, just kind of let us know how you performed. So that's that. And I think that's it. So tonight what we're going to cover, we're going to talk about Gronk, Hyde, Mariota. You know, we're going to definitely get into the What Up Doe failures of the week, fantasy football standouts. We're going to talk about injuries and, you know, some of the players you should shop for on the waiver wire. And just some overall general advice on what to do with Dez Bryant. Andre Ellington is hurt. You know, Peyton Manning was terrible. So we got a lot to kind of get into off week one. But, you know, listen, B and I, we've been doing this for a combined 28 years. B, right. What was your record this week, man? What did you do? What was your record?
I was 3-0, man. I clean sweep in all three of my leagues, you know, including the Dead End Sports fantasy football league, the league that me and you was in, the NFL, which is 7 years in on that league, and my main league, which I played. Shout out to Meach, Glenn, Jelly, and all them. Seeing them in a couple of weeks at the Lions game. But I played in a league with them for, what, 13? This is my 13th year playing, and it's called Any Given Sunday. And I won in that one. I just won convincingly in all three, man. I sweep. But I think, like what I told you earlier this week, this upcoming week, you know, of course I say that I'm in three different leagues. This upcoming week, I'm playing against a guy that has Tony Romo and Odell Beckham. And that's, like, I'm pretty much going against myself pretty much in one league from another. So it's like the guy I'm going against, he got that. But I also have Tony Romo and David Beckham in my main league. So this is kind of like I just got to sit back and close my eyes and just wish for the best. You know, hopefully I can at least get to go two for one, you know, this upcoming week too, because I think going 3-0 again this week is going to be pretty tough knowing that I'm pretty much playing myself. So I just hope,
well,
hope
I
for
think-
the best.
Yeah, and I mean, in situation, you know, I only have two leagues. I went undefeated as well. So together on this show, we opened out fantasy football 5-0. So you know, we'll see how that, you know, if that continues. But that's not a bad start for us. But yeah, and none of my wins were close. Thank God, because I didn't have to stress Monday. But typically in situations like that, you just, you know, it's almost like you hope everybody else get off, you know, and pick up the slack. You know, it's just weird. But I only have two teams this year, which is the lowest I've done since 1997,
oh, wow.
I believe. Yeah, and it's weird.
How does it feel? Just only two teams that you dedicated to?
Man, it's weird because there are players out there that I want, and, you know, you and I, along with the rest of the guys, I don't think they're really expressed much interest, but we talked about doing FanDuel, you know, and I think that that'll kind of satisfy that urge to kind of have certain guys that are playing, you know, because there are guys that we target that we like, but we just are unable to get. And so just only having two teams where I'm used to, like, I have four Yahoo accounts, and I used to max out each one. So I would have up to 16 teams every year. Yeah, every year, man. So I've slowly scaled it back, so I'm only doing two this year. But anyway, yeah, so that's weird. But I think, you know, depending on how things go, I may ramp it up, because some of the guys that I follow and listen to that talk about fantasy football, like, they do up to, like, it was I was watching the preview show this week, and one of the hosts, one of the ladies on there, she had seven teams, and one dude had, like, 17, and that was low for him. They're all in. But that's what they get paid to do, man. That's all they get paid to do. Yep. So
wow,
what a heck of a job.
That is weird.
Yeah, it is. It is a little weird. But anyway, so just want to go over some news and notes, just give you the latest of stuff that kind of broke out today. Ryan Mallett is starting this week in Texas, which, you know, I think that if you are a DeAndre Hopkins owner like myself, after he got it, once he got in the game, he just fired off and hit DeAndre Hopkins for a touchdown. That gave him two for the day. So he's starting, so hopefully that chemistry will continue, which, you know, Ryan Mallett is in Houston, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah,
Hoyer.
You got that right. Yeah,
okay.
Hoyer, he ended up getting benched. You got that right? You got that 100% right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I saw that Ryan Mallett was starting. I don't know why I have Hoyer starting down here. I don't know where that came from. For all of you that's playing tomorrow, C.J. Anderson, as of today, is listed as questionable. So make sure you pay attention to that and follow the Twitter account, and we'll try to get you updated on that. Hopefully you guys have a good backup, which we always encourage you to do. Pac-Man Jones was fined $35,000 for his inexcusable hit on Amari Cooper. You know, the NFL just has thugs, man. They just have certain people that just are out there just
literally are thugs. I mean, I'm talking about real thugs, Ken. Real thugs.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's talking about he's going to appeal. Yeah, so that's that. Let's see. I got White on Bryant. I don't know what that means. Jennings, Rashard Jennings apologized, and he should apologize. My phone tripping. To fantasy owners, too. And Eli should apologize for telling him not to score, because I'm sure there were some guys that could have used those points.
Yeah. Hell
yeah.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. Let's see, Matthews had a touchdown that Chip Kelly didn't challenge, which left a lot of people pissed. So if you were Jordan Matthews,
a whole bunch of people pissed.
yeah, it was. When I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, you got to challenge that, but he didn't, man, and they punched it in. But you know, yeah, I'm glad I didn't have him. You don't have Matthews on any of your teams, do you?
Nope, I don't. Nope, I stay away from Matthews.
You know what? I did too. But when I was watching that game, and I don't know about you, he looked like the number one guy. Like he looked better
than
Marty. I didn't see that coming. 10 catches for over 100 yards.
Hold up. That's the thing. How long that's gonna hold up?
I don't know, but you know he seems to have like the attitude that you need in a number one receiver, and he seems to fit that system well. But it's week one, you know. But I think if you are an owner of Matthews, you got to be encouraged, you know, and know that he can feel, especially if you're drafting him as your number one guy, you got to feel good about that.
Speaking of too, people, fantasy players. And I've tweeted this before. It's freaking week one. You know, don't go ham on the waiver wire and pick up four players and drop five players. It's freaking week one. Don't panic that fast just because a guy or a player had a somewhat decent game, average to a really good game, and because the guy you had started sucked. Just freaking calm down. It's just week one, people. Do not. I'm seeing people going ham in the waiver wire. Like, is there no end tomorrow? Like, okay, you went 0-1, and now, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. I'm not going to make the playoffs. Stop it. I can give you two different, completely opposite scenarios. One scenario, I started the league out 3-0. Still hit the playoffs. Another scenario, I started the league off 0-4 and still made the playoffs. At the end of the day, do not panic. Just stick. Sometimes it's good to keep your waiver wire claims because it might be a gem. And, King, you can attest to this. It's going to be a gem that's going to fall in by week 7 because of a key injury, and you're going to say, oh, man, this guy's about to be that dude. You pick him up, and he ends up averaging you 15 points per week, and guess what? You win. So hang on to your waiver wires like that. Don't panic after week 1. Please, people, just don't panic.
Yeah, you know, for me, did you make any waiver claims this week?
No, I didn't. And you know why? You know why, Ken? You know why? Because
why?
I drafted pretty good. So, like, guys, you know, for example, I got Dez Bryant. He's out for about 6 to 8 weeks. I'm hearing almost 12. But you know what? I have Larry Fitzgerald. I have Brandon Coleman, who I think is going to be a sneaky sleeper that's going to give me some good points. You know, I got guys who I'm confident with. Now, come week 5 or 6 and they still not performing with their performance, that's when I go to my waiver and I can probably sneak some people in sharp. But other than that, I'm not panicking. Yeah, it sucks that my number one first-round draft pick is injured. But you know what? Injuries happen. I've seen it happen. This ain't the first time this happened to me, and it's happened to other people before. Hell, it even happened to you last year. You lost AP.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you was like a game away from making the playoffs. So, you know, you still hung in there. You still made moves in the waiver wire. You were still out there sharking and getting the guys you need to get. So, you know, it's just you got to draft good. That's why drafting good. That's why rounds like 7 through like 10 are important. That's when you plug in players who you feel that, you know, hey, just in case this guy get injured, you know, I can feel good plugging this person in. So I just draft well. But that's why I'm not panicking. Even though my first round draft pick is out for a good amount of time, I'm not panicking. I'm still good. I feel good. I'm good.
Yeah, I made a few waiver wire claims, but, it was out of necessity and just curiosity. So I'll give you one of the guys that I picked up was David Johnson. So Andre Ellington is hurt, and we talked about whether or not he could last. Well, he didn't.
Yep. We sure did.
Nah, he didn't at all. So what I did was, you know, I went out and I put in a claim for David Johnson, and I waived Duke Johnson out of Cleveland. That's probably going to be a platoon system, you know, so I'm not losing anything because I drafted Duke Johnson. I'm pretty late anyway. He barely played. He may start playing, but I'm playing the long game because they're saying out of Arizona that they have plans to use him. Ellington is hurt. We saw what he did, you know, in the game with that 55-yard reception. It was late in the game. You know, the Saints overplayed it. He got loose. That's not going to happen all the time, But even though Chris Johnson is slated to start, and he's probably the guy you guys want to pick up if you lost someone, or if you are an Ellington owner, for me, since, I, like you said, I drafted good, so I don't need the guy that I have, and I damn sure don't need David Johnson, but I'm going to snatch him up just in case something happens late. Why not? And then I can always drop him and pick up somebody else. I don't need the guy. That's one example. I picked up Marcus Mariota. I was curious, you know, because, and I'm still not a believer. It was one game. He only threw 16 pass attempts. You know, I could criticize that whole game, you know, that I saw. But I dropped Jay Cutler, you know, and I'm looking at the bench of quarterback. I can easily go back and get him. Now, I'll be screwed if somebody pick up Jay Cutler and then Marcus Mariota turns it into nothing and my quarterback gets hurt. But, you know, I'm just nosy. I'm just kind of curious. But, you know, I drafted well, man, and I believe the players that I got can get me through it. Now, that's in the Dead End Sports League, I believe. And then in the other league, I needed a tight end because I drafted Zach Ertz. He ended up playing, but they didn't know if he was going to play. It was up in the air. So I had to drop him, picked up Charles Clay, but I wanted to get Ladarius Green, but they didn't clear him to play. So I had to get Charles Clay. So I finally had a chance to get the guy that I originally wanted at the beginning of Sunday. So I got him, and then I think that was the only claim I made, in the real NFL league. But no, that was the only one. But that was pretty much it. Like, the people that I'm seeing people pick up, somebody picked up San Francisco defense, Tavon Austin. I can see somebody picking James Jones. But you're dropping Philip Dorsett, who may have a role now that T.Y. Hilton is hurt. You know, somebody picked up Bishop Sankey. I think that could have been a fluke because of the way the game went. You dropped Brandon Oliver, right. So I think that's a risk you can probably afford to make. People picked up Deion Lewis. I guess they forgot LeGarrette Blount's there. Tavon got picked. And Tavon had a horrible game.
He sure did.
If you look at it, he just had that in the round. And then he ran one back for a score. He didn't even catch many balls.
Right. He didn't even do nothing.
You know, that was somebody picked up Tennessee. Yeah.
People.
So, yeah, but I'm with you, man. Like, and that's what I wanted to see because you had said something about it on Twitter. Like, let's see what people do. Like, how would people react to what happens? Because sometimes you do end up with dead weight, but most of the things, based on what we saw in the drafts, they ended up with a lot of dead weight, but anyway. So, who do you have on your What Up Though list for this week?
Let me get my list. All right. How many you want me to give? Because I don't want to give too many if I'm taking some of yours as well. Does one want me to do five?
Yeah, let's do five.
Okay, yeah. I'm pretty sure you have more than five because I do. So whatever five I name from yours, you can just name a different five. But, of course, I got to stick with hometown. I got to count on my hometown first. Calvin Johnson, 3 points. Probably six if you're playing in the PPR league, which is still nothing. Odell Beckham only had four. Did he get injured? Okay, I don't want to put nobody.
Nah.
No, he didn't. Oh, 4 points for him. AP. 5 points. CJ Anderson, a lot of people had him starting. He only put up 4 points. And, of course, Peyton Manning, who put up five. So, as a QB, your starting quarterback put up five freaking points. Peyton Manning. So, yeah, that's my five right there.
Yeah, I got Nelson Aguilar, man. God, I was so disappointed. He had .60. He caught one ball for 5 yards, and he played 80% of the snaps. .60.
That's bad.
I started him, B. Imagine if I needed that.
Yeah.
And I had Amir, and I benched Amir in favor of Aguilar because I thought he was going to cook the Falcons' secondary. Nope, didn't happen. And you know what happened with Amir. He got off.
Yeah.
I'm glad that game was over, man. Thanks to one of your What Up Those, Peyton Manning, because that's who I played against. So I wasn't mad at that.
Okay.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar absolutely wins it for me. He was absolutely horrible. But there's also Sammy Watkins. I don't even think he had a catch. And somebody started him, too.
He had zero. He had 0 points. Zero. He had zero. I saved
yeah.
him. I knew you was gonna name him. I knew you was. I didn't want to take him for
it. Yeah, somebody started him, man. I don't know who they had on the bench, but there's no way I would have started Sammy Watkins until I saw what their offense do.
Yep.
You know, yeah, that was just way too risky. Let's see, DeMarco Murray. Did you have him on your list?
Yes, I did.
Okay, okay. I got a list of folks.
I was about to say,
Darren McFadden did absolutely nothing.
Yep.
You know, and most of the in most situations you didn't.
Who kind of expected him to do something? You really
well, you know what? It's the news that was coming out of Dallas that he was going to kind of be like one of those guys, you know, but nah. He ain't do anything. Let's see. So, yeah, Golden Tate.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
That whole
yeah.
offense.
2 points.
But,
2 points.
Yeah,
points.
Yep. Yeah, Golden Tate. Let's see, Aguilar, Golden Tate, Sammy Watkins. Doug Baldwin was terrible. He didn't do anything. Frank Gore, man. Frank Gore did absolutely nothing either. And I think a lot of it had to do with the game because of, you know, the way the game played out. But, you know, I expected more from him, and they didn't use him at all. And, he had 9 points.
I have three more if you forget, if you want me to, if you don't name them. I can just pop in some more, three more.
Yeah,
three
I'm putting LeSean McCoy on the list. And the reason why, even though he had 9 points, you know, he made up for it in the passing game with 46 receptions. But, you know, he kept getting stuffed. Like, he was going left. He was going right. He wasn't going north and south. Carlos Williams gets in. He squirts in. He popped out, and he's gone to the for a touchdown. Absolute.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought he was going to do a lot more than what he did just as far as performance-wise, but he still, like you said, he had 9 points, so I think that was okay for most people. Who are the other three you got?
I had Eli Manning with 8 points. I had Justin Forsett with 5, and I had A.J. Green with only 6. Some more duds. Some more what up, though, duds.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it.
Yeah, you got to think. People, these are guys that people had, like, starting and, you know, just ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, this is the guy I'm plugging in. He's going to do good, and look what happened. So, yeah, definitely those guys were some duds. Definitely.
You know what? I'm going to start making graphics for this, man, and putting those on Twitter. Let me see here. Just kind of going through it real quick. Let's see. Brian Quick was ruled out. He didn't play. Gurley was ruled out. Man, Nelson Aguilar, man, I think he wins it this week. You know, I went to Yahoo and shipped and filtered by Taken and Owen Daniels, if you start him. Reggie Bush.
I don't think anybody really started him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Greg Olsen. You started Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen. He was plugged in and starting this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I give you him.
Yep, 1.2 points. Some people started Steve Smith. He had 1.5, and he dropped a touchdown. So yeah, we'll leave that there. And Andre Johnson was terrible too.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, it's the same thing you just said with the Lions offense being, you know, not that good. That's the same way for the Colts. It was just like, you know, Luck couldn't really get going. Andre Johnson, Frank Gore. You know, I ain't really counting T.Y. Hilton because he ended up getting injured and leaving the game. So it was, but yeah, it was just everything was just in a funk, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was a little insane. Who stood out for you this weekend, fantasy wise? I you know, none. I guess I guess Mariota, you could throw him in there out of the quarterbacks, but, you know, most of the other guys you kind of expect it. But who actually caught your eye this weekend?
He was kind of a sleeper for me in my main league. Kansas City tight end. I can't remember his name.
Kelsey.
Off the top of my head. Yes.
Kelsey.
Yes. He was balling. He was money for me. He was so money for me. So that dude right
you
there.
You had him?
Yeah. He's my starting tight end. I picked him like ninth in my main league. And I mean, he was there, so I got him. He was ranked pretty high, so I was like, okay, this dude must be ranked high for a reason. So, oh, yeah, I got him, brother. I got him. So, I would say that was my surprise. I don't know what they did as far as fantasy-wise, but another surprise would be Buffalo's defense. Buffalo defense shocked the hell out of me when I was watching that game. They were just stopping. The fact that they just had fantasy-wise, I don't know what they did, but definitely Kansas City Chiefs tight end is like my standout for this week because he was balling.
Yeah, I got a couple of guys. I didn't expect Rob Gronkowski to go off for three touchdowns at all. I don't know if that's going to be I think that's going to be a fluke. But ASJ, man, Safarian Jenkins. Breaking loose for two touchdowns, five catches, 110 yards, and two touchdowns. Tyler Eifert shocked me, too. He was targeted 12 times and caught at 9 and two touchdowns. So that's two more tight ends. I don't think you're going to see that from Safarian Jenkins, that type of performance, but he could definitely be a threat because I think Winston will have to rely on him throughout the year. Here's a guy you drafted, I believe. Chris Ivory got off for 91 yards and two touchdowns.
Yep, I sure did.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was a sleeper. I think we talked about him as well. Bishop Sankey, man, I think shocked a lot of people. But as far as what he was able to do, because he was terrible last year, terrible. But I think that was a fluke. I'm going to tell you a guy that I had that – if he keeps this up, if he's anywhere close to it, he got 13 targets. He caught 9 balls, 98 yards, and 2 touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins. And I was low on him this year.
You sure
were? Man, remember where I got him? I got him late in the draft. And he may be a steal if he can come anywhere close to that, every week. Obviously, Carlos Hyde was a big shocker for a lot of people. But you and I, we kind of said that he could be a sleeper for a lot of people. We just didn't know how it just really depended on Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen was stupid. 17 targets. He caught 15 of them and had 166 yards receiving. B, he threw to him 17 times. Phillip Rivers.
Man,
surprised you didn't name Kendall Wright.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was, because that's a guy because I drafted well. I got him late in those late rounds. I'm going to plug him in place of Dez Bryant because Mariota stressed plenty of times that's his favorite target. And it showed in week one. I mean, granted, I don't know. They were playing against, see how it's going to be when they play against a better defense. But Mariota already said, that's my favorite target. He's going to look for him a lot. So I feel great plugging him in place of Dez Bryant for these 8 to 10 weeks. So, it's just just kind of brushing the dust off my shoulder, patting it up, just patting myself on the back, because I draft well. But, yeah, that's another one, too. I'm surprised I didn't name him either because that's a guy I'm like, oh, man, he did good on my bench. So I'm going to feel good playing him, being my every week starter for now until Dez Bryant come back. But, yeah, Kendall Wright, if somebody I know, I'm probably getting. Goodness gracious, that did pretty good. Oh, man. I think I just named the Kansas City dude because I just didn't think he was going to come out. Because the guy I played against, he had Rob Gronkowski. So, like, my tight end pretty much matched him. I was like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so that kind of took me off guard because I didn't think he was going to have that. I know Alex Smith looked for him, quite a bit, but I just didn't think he was going to have that type of game. So, not saying I'm expecting him to give me 25 points every week, but it's just like, man, he Alex Smith looked for him. He definitely looked for him. So, I'm pretty sure it'd be somebody I'm forgetting, man. That
I had Kelsey last year.
You did?
Oh, go ahead.
I was trying to think of somebody who people didn't expect to ball out. Like, Rob Gronkowski was just like a giveaway because everybody knew he was going to, you know, do his thing or whatever and ball out still.
But three touchdowns?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's good for doing, when healthy, when in previous fantasy football years, Gronkowski's good for giving you a couple of games where he's going to give you three touchdowns, like, boom, 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 boom. And you're like, damn. So,
I got one for you.
And we
actually talked about him, and we know it's week one, but Larry Fitzgerald had 87 yards.
Yep.
Eight targets.
So, I mean, you know, Carson, now that Larry Fitzgerald has a quarterback, I think Carson Palmer, you know, would be straight. You know, I think Larry Fitzgerald, that's another guy I got on my bench. You know, in place of Dez Bryant. I mean, I just draft well. You know what I'm saying? I just draft good. But Larry Fitzgerald, I think he's gonna be all right, man. I mean, he's a vet. He's a veteran. Just think, at some point, you know, 3, 4, 5 seasons ago, he was easily regarded as the top 5 best receivers in the game. So, you know.
Right, and he's crafty. He's a veteran. He knows how to get open. Great route runner.
Yeah.
And if you look at that game, kind of where they were using him, they had him in the slot. They moved him all around, and some of the plays he got was right in the middle of the field, like right in that zone, and it was like 20-yard gains, and you know, and that was against the Saints, granted, but just the fact that they used him, he didn't get a touchdown. John Brown got it, but as more defenses start to key in on him, I can see Fitzgerald having more and more games like this. He may not get you a lot of touchdowns, but if you're smart and you listen to us, you probably got him late anyway when people were overlooking him. And he's going to be a great guy you can plug in, you know, if you have an injury. You know, you just lost Dez Bryant. Yeah, a good flex guy. Yep, or a bye week guy. You know, as long as Palmer stays healthy.
You're right. I'm cool with Fitzgerald giving me, you know, he don't have to give me a touchdown. If he give me about, you know, 8 receptions, about 85 to 95 yards, I'm cool with that. I mean, a touchdown would be a plus, but if he can get me down on a consistent basis, I do not have a problem playing him every week. Not at all.
Yep. Fitzgerald led the team in catches, targets, and yards.
There you go.
And he's not even counted as the number one guy. And I think he'd say he dropped a touchdown, too, so he could have had a touchdown.
Yeah,
he's gonna be back, man. He's gonna be back.
Yeah, man. I'm feeling good about him, man. I feel good about having that Larry Fitzgerald late, man. Especially just in the situation I'm in now with the Dez Bryant situation. So I feel good, man. I'm liking my chances. I'm still liking my chances. And then once the Dez come back and start balling, look out for my squad. I mean, I would not want to face me come playoff time.
So let's talk about Dez Bryant a little bit. So, you know, he obviously, you know, by now most of you guys know that he broke his foot. Originally projected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Now they're saying 8 to 12, B. I don't know if you saw the latest on that.
You are
actually in this situation. You're in the situation that a lot of owners are in. And I think this is something that, you know, people can obviously, you know, hopefully find value in. You have two scenarios you can look at, the short term or the long term. And if you listen to Dez Bryant, he's going to be back in 4 to 6 weeks. It kind of reminds me of when T.O. Was supposed to be out for a while and then he came back anyway. Everybody else is saying 8 to 12. As the GM, if it goes 8 to 12 weeks, what do you do?
I'm stingy, man, so I'm still keeping him. Because if you look at it like this, people who's listening, a regular season of fantasy football is normally 13 weeks, which are weeks 14, 15, and 16 being your playoff. So we figured, you know, say he comes back, you know, week 12, and he plays, more likely I might have him on the bench on that week 12, especially if I already, like, playoff season or something like that. I probably might bench him just to see what he does. Because, once again, I draft good and I got guys I can play in. So, you know, I put him in, you know, see what he does, and then come playoff time, if he's back, I'm going to be one of the most dangerous teams you don't want to see. So I'm a cheaper. I'm not going to give him – I'm not going to have a chance with someone else who I might possibly see in the playoffs, you know, to reap the rewards of having Dez Bryant because I gave up on him from a 12-week injury, and then they're going to have him going in the playoffs. No. That's not going to happen. I'd rather for him to just not do anything on my team than to me possibly drop him than somebody else, you know, reap them benefits. So he's staying on my team. Now, if he was out for the year – yeah, of course, yeah, drop him right away. But this situation, sir, he is going to stay on my team. 12 weeks, that's right in time for playoffs as far as I'm concerned.
So you got to get through 11 more weeks, finish as worst case the sixth seed, and then, you know, if he comes back, great, you can go on for a championship with
right.
a healthy Dez Bryant who's going to look to punish the people once he gets back. I'm looking at your team. I'm going to call your team out for everybody listening so they get an idea of what you're working with. You got Matthew Stafford, Davante Adams, Larry Fitzgerald, Jeremy Hill, Jimmy Graham, Kendall Wright, Chris Ivory, the Hurt Dez Bryant, Rashad Jennings, Mike Wallace, Sam Bradford, Danny Woodhead, and Jordan Reed. So you do have guys that you can plug in and, you know, could probably give you close to the value of Dez Bryant, who, I mean, they were projecting this guy was going to put up close to 12 to 14 points a week prior to the injury. If Fitzgerald, you know, right now is projected to average around 8 to 9 points a week, a touchdown could put him up there. You know,
mm-hmm.
if he continues to get these targets, he's going to put up numbers that he can come close to giving you that value. Davante Adams actually got 8 targets. He could actually be one of those guys with Jordy Nelson out. And, you know, so I think, you know, you're basically looking at Davante and Larry, you know, as your 1 and 2. And then you're kind of thrust into, like, flex. But you have great options here, you know, with Rashad Jennings, who got a touchdown at 50-something yards on 13 carries.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Woodhead scored 2 touchdowns. So,
yep.
But all of that being said, you're not thinking about possibly trading someone on your team to go get, like a number one guy? Like, you believe in the rest of your guys that much to where you don't feel like you need to make a move?
No, I think it's still kind of early. I would say by week 3. I would say, and you know what? And the reason why I probably say week 3 because possibly – say if a Larry Fitzgerald still looking nice. Say if or you know, Danny Woodhead or Kenny Wright still kind of looking, you know, decent, putting up decent numbers. I can probably use that and try to get someone else's number one receiver on their team.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That's also
yeah.
probably playing similar or a little bit better. You know, just try to lure them in. But hey, you know, it depends. I think it's still a little early to, like, be like, you know, okay, hey, I'm trading this person so I can get your number one receiver. I might have to trade up a bag. I don't know. I mean, looking at it, I might have to trade up a Carlos Hyde or something like that, you know, to try to get that number one receiver when, you know, my running back core is really not that strong as of, you know, right now. I mean, I'm banking on Murray and Hyde right now as far as my two running backs, so, you know, we shall see how that goes. But it's really interesting. I would, like, wait probably, like, another 2 more weeks to see how my players, how my other receivers look, because I got to throw them something. I got to give them somebody some value.
Right, and I think as long as you're winning, you know, you don't need to make a move, you know,
yep.
until, you know, things start to kind of go against you, if they even do. You know, because you got guys that can put up numbers, you know, on any given week. I mean, you have quality players. You know, and I think that's what helped. Looking at this team, they're quality players that can go out and easily score a touchdown and put up yardage, which is
mm-hmm.
pretty much all you need. So, you know, if you stay competitive and get one of those breakout games, you know, you can come away with the win. And at the end of the day, that's the only thing that really matters. You know, and then you could just continue to wait it out. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think that we'll see what happens with Dez Bryant. So if you are a Dez Bryant owner, and say, for instance, you didn't have the bench players that you do have, who would you go look for in the waiver wire who would you go try to pick up if you needed a guy?
Oh, I mean, you know, of course, Terrence Williams is going to automatically be like a sexy pick because, you know, now he's going to be pretty much like the guy. And what's the other guy, Beasley? I think I'm saying his name
Beasley.
Right. The other
yeah.
Wide out. Yeah, yeah. In a PPR league, Beasley is that guy to get, you know, if you're in a PPR league. But if you're looking for a guy with some red zone touchdown flair, you know, T. Williams is definitely a good look to go for. Depends on if you want to plug a different guy in a receiver and then look for a running back. The guy from Tennessee, what's it, Stanky? Brian Stanky?
Bishop Stanky.
Yeah, Bishop Stanky. You can plug him in the flex and pop in another wide receiver guy if you got one. Who else to plug in? Ooh, in a 12-man league, man, it's pretty tough, man. It's not like really that much out there, but of course, go after Dez Bryant's number two and number three because Dez Bryant is out. So Romo's gonna have to throw to somebody besides Witten. So yeah, Williams is definitely a good pickup. So if you're desperate and don't have no bench, unlike me, then you might have to use that waiver wire claim and try to get Williams or Beasley.
Yeah, you know, I think a couple of guys you guys can go get thanks to injuries. Dante Moncrief, if T.Y. Hilton is hurt. He had 6 targets. 11 targets with 6
11
receptions.
11 targets, yeah.
Yeah,
against that good defense.
Yeah.
So,
targets is a huge indicator, guys, because
it really is.
Yeah, it's opportunities, and that's what you're looking for. So, Dante Martin, again, is week one. We feel like we have to stress that because so much can change, you know, by next week. And by week four, everything is going to be leveled out. People are going to be all who they are. But Dante Moncrief is probably a guy you can go get and get a couple of weeks out, depending on what happens with T.Y. Hilton, you know, because he got hurt. He said Brandon Coleman. He scored a touchdown. He's playing opposite, you know, Brandon Cooks. Nobody talked about him in the preseason, which was kind of crazy to me. He missed last year, I think. He got 7 targets. Breeze has to throw it to somebody, so he's a good guy to go pick up. I mean, it's like B said, it's thin. You could definitely go get Beasley. He has 6 targets. But I'm trying to give you guys you can really put in there. You may want to look at Lance Dunbar. He got 8 targets. You know, he's a running back, but he could be a good flex guy. He, you know, and Romo has to throw to somebody. We saw what he was able to do. You know, this is interesting, and this is why we talk about this is only week one. And it's unfortunate he got hurt because I wanted to know what would actually happen. You know, if he wasn't hurt, he may play, he may not. Rashad Greene had 13 targets. The problem is he caught 7 for only 28 yards. So he had the opportunities, but it's like 2 or 3 yard outs, it seems. But that's something that you want to star this guy, and you're going to want to watch him because in FSU, he was a great route runner. He made touch catches, and he was a guy that Winston could count on. If he could develop some type of chemistry with Bortles moving along, because there's not a lot of talent in Jacksonville, he could be a guy that you guys can go pick up. Nate Washington had 11 targets. He's playing opposite, I think, Hopkins. You know, he had 11 targets, 6 receptions, 100 yards. So there are guys out there that you can go get, that you can just try to stream, and hopefully you find somebody that works. But these are guys that are starting. And these are options that, you know, could definitely help you out and get you through 4 to 6 weeks. And hope that he comes back in 4 to 6 weeks and you're 4-2, 5-1, or 3-3, you know, and play it from there. So, that's going to be tough. Because you know what? It's like a lot of people spent that number one. That's the worst thing to ever happen.
That is.
Because it happened to me.
Yeah.
I lost AP, man, and it ruined my year. But I didn't draft well, and I paid for it last year. Let's see. What about James Jones? Like, are you looking at him? 2 touchdowns.
I mean, and, you know, and then you have to think too. Him and Aaron Rodgers. Like, he, I mean, he's played on that organization before, so there's somewhat of a chemistry there with those, with Aaron Rodgers and James Jones. So, you know, Jordy Nelson out. You know, I kind of hate it because now, you know, if James Jones do something, it kind of takes away from Davante Adams, who I was, you know, kind of high on. Hopefully, he can still kind of show, you know, have a breakout year this year with Jordy Nelson out. But yeah, that was another guy. That was definitely another guy, Davante Adams. But James Jones, another person you can look at that can probably get you some sneaky points every now and then. That's not a bad pickup. Not a bad pickup at all.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at Jones, you're probably dropping somebody that you drafted really, really late that you don't really need to try to see if there's value to be had there.
Yeah.
He only
yeah.
had four targets, I believe, and mm-hmm. Davante Adams, the guy you had eight. So,
yeah.
you know, Adams
yeah.
will get the opportunities, but in that red zone, he probably will be looking at Jones. So you're looking at hopefully a touchdown. He might be touchdown dependent. Let's see. So tomorrow, and I think it's important for us to talk about the games tomorrow because the fantasy football starts. The Broncos and the Chiefs. Peyton Manning is the guy we need to talk about because he looked absolutely He looked bad in spots. But my question is, are you concerned about Peyton Manning? And if you had Peyton Manning and if you had a nice backup, would you play Peyton Manning on a short week? Or would you go with, say, for instance, let me look and see what quarterbacks are on the waiver wire. I'm going to throw Mariota out there because he was a waiver wire option. And maybe Nick – there really are no waiver wire options outside of Mariota.
Mariota, who are they playing against? Is he playing
Cleveland.
Defense?
Cleveland.
Ooh, that's very tempting. That's tempting, Ken. That's very tempting. And I mean, and like, don't sleep. Kansas City defense looked pretty. They looked pretty, you know, well that spot. So either just Houston, which is that terrible offensively, but you know, against the Texans and Chiefs game, you know, Chiefs defense, you know, they looked pretty good. So I expect them to bring it against the great Peyton Manning, man. Yeah, you're right. That's Mariota sitting there against the Browns. You know, most QBs always have field days against them. You know. They always have field day against the Browns. So, you know, it's not like Browns got like a sorry offense but a monster defense. They don't. They look
yeah.
pretty. You know, oh, man, that's kind of sexy, man. That's tempting right there, man, to go after that. I don't know, man. Dang, you feel benched. I mean, that's still a bad feeling in your stomach, though, to bench Peyton Manning, like to literally bench him. Like you put him on.
For a rookie,
you know, and then you know you get that excited off of week one. You know what I'm saying? Like it goes that week one thing again because like you play them, and then you thinking they're gonna do something, and then that's, you know, you're like, oh shit, it was a dud. Like that he didn't do nothing again. And sometimes that catch you to it. That's one thing I hate about fantasy football. Sometimes when you expect a player to do good against a sorry defense, they don't. And you're
mm-hmm.
like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, it pissed you off like crazy. So. Yeah.
You know, and then
you say what?
Well, on top of that, say for instance you do bench him, and I hate Thursday football games because you know, they just always play terrible.
Yeah.
And I always struggle with that unless it's a number one draft pick. But I think for me, I would look at it like this. I did pick up Mariota. You know, the guy did show like He's a smart kid, and I think that can go a long way. And the way the NFL is transitioning now is transitioning to kind of that dink and dunk offense anyway, which is suitable for him. But, you know, Cleveland is tempting. I think for me it would depend on who I'm playing with. So I'm looking at in the league that we're playing in, 50-yard line has Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning is going against Andrew Luck. Do you really want to put Mariota against Luck? You know,
right.
Who's going against a tough defense in the Jets? But we know, like, there were two or three touchdowns that Manning just missed. A new offense. he didn't really have the control that they're saying that he doesn't have full control of the offense that he would like. So, you know, he's a little bit out of rhythm. A lot of the plays didn't look crisp. And he didn't really play much in the preseason. He could just be shaking off rust, kind of like Adrian Peterson, right? Are you willing, really, really willing to risk a 3-touchdown game for Mariota, who's an unknown? I think when I look at the projections, Manning is projected to get 22 points. Mariota is around 18 to 19. I don't know if it's worth the risk for me. I think I'll probably go with the veteran. But
so you gonna go with the veteran?
Yeah. But there are a lot of people panicking. And I think that's pretty much kind of the thing for this week, right? It's week one. We saw a lot of bad performances. Don't panic.
Yeah.
And I think if for people that has Peyton Manning that's going against a short week, that saw some of the throws, that's listening to a lot of people, I saw it too. He didn't look good. But I know what I've seen for the last over a decade, 18, 16, however many damn years he's been playing in the league. He's had bad games. He's had a lot of bad games even leading up to the end of last year. But for me, I'm not panicking in week one. I got to see. He has to suck 2 to 3 weeks in a row for me to bench him.
Right.
For me to bench him. I just can't do it. As tempting as it is, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, man. Nah, I couldn't do it. Because Tampa Bay sucked. They were terrible.
They do. And it made it seem like Mariota is like, hey, Tampa, this y'all should have went with this decision. This is your guy, and it ain't going to meet.
Exactly, and I think the thing is, you know, just to kind of, well, because we didn't really talk about it much, but I'd say, for instance, Lovie Smith did draft Mariota. I don't think he would have looked like he did in week one because of Lovie's system and the way Lovie probably would have coached him. You know,
yeah.
I think he would have struggled. Ken Whisenhunt, you know, used Mariota, you know, Mariota to, you know, to his strengths. He played to his strengths. So I think he just went to a better system with a team and an organization that knew how to use him. I think if he would have been playing in Tampa, I don't think he would have been like that. I don't think he's that damn good. And all the passes were short. He was in favorable positions. Like on one of the passes, Delanie Walker just literally ran to the end zone, turned around, and nobody was around. He just got the touchdown. I'm not freaking out just yet. Here's another situation. In the real NFL league, I want to say, this is DES. So this guy has Peyton Manning. He's benching Peyton Manning for Carson Palmer, who's going against Chicago. Would you do that?
Benching Carson Palmer, who's going against Chattown. Well, I mean, Arizona is a good team. I think that's a possibility where Palmer can kind of have a field day. Because, I mean, who is the secondary for Chicago? I can't even name any. I can't even name some.
Me either.
I think that's a little more intriguing than Mariota. Like you said, you don't want to bench Peyton Manning for a rookie who just so happened to have a good week one. You know what I'm saying? I don't let the week one highs fool you. But Carson Palmer, he's a veteran. He has a little bit more pieces around him, a little bit better. You know, more pieces that I think are more attractive than what the pieces that Mariota has around him. You know, are they at home or are they at Chicago?
At Chicago?
Okay. I mean, yeah, I think that's not a bad move. I think the Peyton Manning kind of scares him a little bit. But yeah, like you said, you made a good point. I remember this last year. Thursday night games, man. Those are tricky games, man. You know, you're right. The last year, man, them Thursday night games be, like, awful. Like, I don't know. It's just like teams don't be in the funk or something, man. It's just crazy. So, yeah. Carson Palmer, I think I would probably roll with that more so than over Mariota if I had to choose.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a stronger play. You know, they lost Ellington, but, you know, they got Chris Johnson, they got David Johnson. They're going to still try to run the ball, but I think, you know, they'll have their opportunities. It depends on, you know, how Chicago plays it. Like, you know, if they try to play keep away like they did with Aaron Rodgers, he threw for three touchdowns, too. He didn't have a lot of yardage, but he got three. Palmer got three. You know, and Peyton Manning's back apparently is hurt. So, you know, we don't know. So, I think I'm with you, B. I think they're even at this point in their career. And because I don't like Thursday games, I think this is a risk worth taking, just to see. You know, because you have a good quarterback. He's going against Andrew Luck, too. But I think where it evens out is that Andrew Luck is playing against the Jets defense. And that may work to your advantage. So I think you can afford to take this risk. And you just better hope, because the guy also has Emmanuel Sanders, and just hope that, you know, the game is terrible. You know, and then, he's actually playing against Kyle. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that play out. 0-1. They're both of these guys are 0-1. Number 8
somebody
versus number 9.
That's
tough situation to be in. Ooh, I hate that feeling.
Yeah,
0-1, and you got to get that win.
Yeah, that's bad. You know, 0-2. That's bad, man. You do not want to start off 0-2.
All right. Before we get out of here. Anybody you're looking at that you think gonna have a good week this week?
Oh snap! Oh, let me look at my lineup right quick. That's a good question. Who's gonna have a good week this week?
Yeah, that has a potential to kind of break out.
Let me look at these matchups, seeing who people playing against what. Because man. You go first.
Yeah, I'm gonna look at some matchups too. You know what? I think as much as it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peterson could be a little bit better. I like the fact that he caught the ball. You know, he had some receptions. That helped save him. At least he got the 5 points. He only had 10 carries. He's not going to play San Francisco. I think he can have a bounce back week this week. So I like him.
I think he might have a good bounce back week or a good week. I think Doug Martin going against New England Saints. The Saints going against New Orleans Saints. I think Doug Martin will probably I wouldn't be surprised if he had like a 105 yard, one touchdown game. Wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. Let's see, these are power ranks. Yeah, I think the guy I'm watching this week is probably gonna be Peterson. I just wanna see what he does. I think that, you know, it's kinda like what. Well, we got 90 seconds. What we said on the show last night is that you shouldn't have expected much from him, you know, that first week, especially after not playing the whole season. So let's see what he does now that he got a week under his belt and took a couple of hits. Because he was talking a little mess after the game. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up for us. We're done. This is the first show. We're still kind of, you know, getting our feet wet, doing a fantasy football show. So, we got 60 seconds. Definitely leave us some feedback. Leave us a rating on iTunes. Leave us a comment. And follow us on
social.
Twitter. Oh, you know what? Somebody just called in. I just saw him a little late. Hey, we're going to have to get you next time, player. Sorry about that. But this is an hour-long show, and he's been holding for 4 minutes. But anyway, you know what? I think if I remember correctly, the show continues. So I'll pull you live. We'll see.
All right. Yeah.
But anyway, we'll catch you guys next week, next Wednesday at 8:00. Hey, this is Dead End Sports. Who's on the line?
Sports.
What up, Ken? What up, BZ? It's Ryan. What's going on? What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. I just wanted to catch the what up, though.
Oh, man. Oh yeah, man. We it's an hour long show. we were just actually wrapping up. Whoa. Music is loud. Hold on. Where is that coming from? All right. Hello?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man, it's an hour long show, but we were just wrapping up.
Cool.
So yeah. How did your teams do last week? Did you play any?
Yeah, I got one in the league because I didn't get to sign up for the Dennis Sports League like I wanted to because I was looking for that link and then I logged out Twitter and then I saw it came off later and everyone locked it in, so I'm in another league with my friends. But the funny thing is we got 16 people in the league, so going for the waiver wire, yeah.
It's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. But here's the thing: we don't do the waiver selection. There's no waiting line for it. It's basically you want them, you grab them, drop whoever you got. So it's kind of like that. It's like an instant. But speaking of which, my team, I won. I kicked the shit out of my opponent. I won 131 to like 80 some, because I had Gronk, Jeremy Hill, Mariota, Carolina, Josh Brown, they all killed their projections for me.
You played Mariota?
He's my QB1 because I was trying to snap, because the way my draft went, I was trying to get Bridgewater as my backup and try and go for Brady-Gronk combo. But someone literally took Brady first round. I was like, well, shit, that just fucked everything up. But I ended up like, so the way my draft was going, I was like, this is weird. Out of all the mock drafts I've done it when I took Gronk twice. So I took Gronk this time, and I was like, there's not a lot of good QBs left. And I'm looking, I see Carson Palmer, Kaepernick, Cutler. I'm like, I don't want Cutler again. So I was like, you know what? Wait a minute. I saw Mariota. I'm like, there hasn't been one bad thing. He's done well all preseason. I'm a bank on him. And I took him. And my backup is Bortles.
Oh, wow.
I had to play Bortles last year, because I had some guys, get hurt, and I wasn't happy about it.
He's my backup. Once it's over, after what I saw Mariota do, shoot. And plus, Cleveland's going to be a nice matchup, so, I mean, hey, see how he rides out. But he could be, a nice QB1, so I'm riding with him. My wide receivers, I have Aguilar just like you, Ken, and I put the game on just to see what the hell was going on, and then I saw you. That's why I mentioned it last night. Bradford wasn't really looking at him all night. Plus, what's his name? Trufant on Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Locked him up. So I think this week he'll meet the projections better. The other one, like I said, Charles Johnson, because I had him towards the end last year. He's the number one option now. He's the X receiver. But again, like you said, San Francisco just confused the hell out of Bridgewater. So he was only like 2.7 points in our league, my league. So I'm hoping my receivers do better. My first option is Macklin. So.
Well, yeah, 50 yards. So that was encouraging. If I had Macklin, because I didn't know how he would do in Kansas City. But 50 yards is decent.
Yeah, but they also robbed him of a 39 yard catch too, like a Dez Bryant type of call.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I watched. That
somebody
game
else got robbed. Who was it? I can't remember. They were saying somebody got robbed of a touchdown.
Gronk got robbed of one. I know that, but it didn't matter.
It didn't matter because he went right back.
He went back anyway.
Yeah, he went right back and got a touchdown, so it didn't matter. That one didn't matter at all.
No. The only issues I have with my team right now is basically, is Mariota going to stay the same? Hopefully Johnson and Aguilar, live up. And then it's basically debating between who's my second running back. Am I going to do Doug Martin again, or am I going to do Latavius Murray? And I'm going with Martin again because the matchup's better.
And the thing that surprised me about Murray, and, I was low on him this year, is that he, he caught passes, and that saved him. You know, and if he can continue to do that, he'll be serviceable, especially depending on where you drafted him. I didn't want him this right. year. But right. if I was stuck with him, seeing him catch passes, I would be cool with that.
Yeah, definitely. Proven to be an every down back since they're not using Roy Helu on Oakland. But just got to play the matchups between him and Martin.
Yeah, I like Martin. I think, you know, he's playing for a contract, man. They typically do
yep.
well when that comes into play.
Yep. Whenever them players got to play for that money, they going to step up.
Oh, yeah. The only other thing I tried doing is actually, you were talking about doing like the Dez trade type of deal. There's one person like last year in our league who ends up with a bunch of WR1s and they basically have like a nice lock on the league for a little bit. This guy has Dez, Odell Beckham, and DeAndre Hopkins. So it's like, okay, I know what happened last year because the person who had Macklin, Odell Beckham, Demarius, and Josh Gordon and Julio Jones won the league last year. So I was like, let me try and see if I can snag a trade off him before it gets too deep in the league.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, because the way that league went last year, I was like, I know all this is going to pan out, especially because now the guy who had that last year now has Megatron and Julio, Tony Romo, and his team is solid. He could repeat, but the other guy, that one I just mentioned before, that's the one I'm trying to make a bet because I love Odell Beckham, but trying to see if I can get it off him.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about Beckham this year, man. I think he's going to have a down year.
Could be.
Think it's because of the Madden curse?
I don't think it's going to come down to injuries. I think he talked a lot of crap, and I think he's going to see a lot of double teams. Cruz may help.
Yeah.
But I think, man, B, you know how it is, man. You're a rookie. You come in. It's not like he's Randy Moss.
right.
You know what I mean? Nobody could cover Randy Moss. You know, but Odell comes in, he's talking a lot of crap. They're going to look to shut him down and hit him too.
Yeah.
You know, so... I mean, he lit up the lead, but he's no Randy Moss. That's for certain.
True. I don't know. The guy hasn't gotten back to me yet, but if not, I might do like a counter offer and say, you know, since Dez is out, you know, I'll bite for Dez, see if I can, because I gave him pieces that would help him because he doesn't have any depth for bye weeks. So I gave him Minnesota defense, Bortles and Allen Hurns from Jacksonville. So this could give you some depth, at least for those bye weeks. And, you know, balance out your team instead of having a bunch of number one options but no depth for bye weeks. And since we have 16 teams, the waiver wire is not going to have a lot of options since most of the guys and then some are taken up.
Damn.
Yeah, I played in a 16. I just couldn't do another 16-team league. It becomes annoying after a while because there really is nobody there.
Yeah.
You know, and it just becomes irritating. You know, I think the league that B and I are in, the pay league, you know, what we saw in our draft is that everybody went for quarterbacks early.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know myself, I was looking up and everybody was gone. So I ended up with Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler as my backup. And I did not want Tannehill at all. The only reason I took him was because I had Lamar Miller, so, and, you know, they like to throw to him, so I can probably get that combo.
Right.
And then I think I ended up drafting Devontae Parker, too, so hopefully he'll, you know, eventually get a WR1 spot. But when I was watching it play out Sunday and I looked up and Tannehill had 30 yards passing on the Redskins, I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be a long season. He got it going, but I'm still stuck
eventually.
With him. So, like – Yeah, yeah. I picked up Mariota off the draft, off the waiver wire, and dropped Cutler. I mean, I'm just curious. I want to see what. You know what? No, I didn't. That's the other league. Not in B's league because I had Palmer. I got Palmer and Ryan Tannehill. But yeah, I'm just, look. Mariota, man, he was in a lot of favorable positions.
Yeah.
You know, what happens when you really have to play a whole game?
Right. Well,
but, you know.
True. But the thing is, what looking over at the same time, a lot of things he was doing, like he wasn't, you know, waiting in the pocket. He got the ball out quick, like less, like they put a timer on, like 0.7 seconds, 0.5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he lock, loaded, shoot. Like he knew what he was doing right out, did not wait. Like, I'm going, you got to catch up with me. So that's what I was like, well, shit, he's not playing around for a rookie.
Good coaching, man. You know, they came in with a plan and they're taking advantage of what he does well. It really made Lovie Smith and Tampa Bay look bad because, you know, they got mopped up. And defensively, they couldn't cover anybody. They couldn't block for Winston.
True.
And it's going to be a long, long year for him. But, you know, with Mariota, the way they played that, I think they can play it. And realistically, he could be successful doing that same thing, similar to kind of what Brady's doing, you know, as his career is starting to get, you know, towards the end. You know, it's quick passes, outs, you know,
right,
the running backs and stuff, and just getting the ball out quick, and then he takes the shots when he's there. You know, it works. It's been successful. And it
fits
with Mariota.
Absolutely.
So,
you might want to start him because Cleveland's defense is not. I'm going to do it because he's my number one, but I know you got Tannehill. I don't know who I don't remember who Miami's playing this week. So, I mean, it's enticing based on how he looked last week.
Well, no, actually, the league I picked him up in, I have Drew Brees. So, I don't need.
All right.
Yeah. I have the one I have Tannehill. I got Tannehill, Hill, and Palmer. So,
okay.
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, so.
All right.
But all right, man. I guess we're gonna go ahead and get out of here.
All right.
Yeah, make sure we on at 8 p.m. next Wednesday. So make sure you listen.
Yeah, we're gonna start pushing
it
a little bit more.
Talk about your fantasy football woes and victories and stuff like that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I was listening, and then I was like, all right, I'll give a call now since it sounded like it was trying to get a break in, but I'll try to maybe call sooner.
All right, cool.
Yeah, because what we want to do is open, you know, kind of get through all the news and stuff that we need to get through at the top half, and then open it up on the second half, you know, for people to call in. So, but yeah, man, appreciate you calling in, appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you on Twitter.
Appreciate the new show, guys. Keep it up.
All right, thanks.
All right, appreciate it. Later.
Peace. Yep.